It's the end of Shar Dalet Perek Aleph, and we're about to begin the fundamental issue that Rav Chaim Volozhiner discusses in Shar Dalet, which is, as we pointed out in the past, one of the most important mitzvos for Bnei Yeshiva. Utchila. In this edition, it's bottom of page Reish Nun Tes. Utchila asim divrasi be'enin esek atolishma. You have it in the brown edition as well. It's in the little paragraph. If you want to show it to me, I'm actually using the edition that most of you. May I take your edition?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, it's page Reish Tes in this edition on the top. Utchila. Utchila asim divrasi be'enin esek atolishma. And what I will do to begin is to discuss what the involvement of Torah Lishma means. Ma'u inyan Lishma. What is the meaning of Lishma? Higam ze prichatos. Because people err in understanding what does Torah Lishma mean. L'kama hamonim atzmam me'isek ha-Torah ha-Kedosha. B'choshvam, many think that, what is the meaning of Lishma? Ki inyan Lishma perush bedveikus gadol. That Lishma means that we are trying to create dveikus. Rav Chaim Volozhiner is about to say a tremendous chiddush about the definition of Torah Lishma, or actually he's going to start with what Torah Lishma is not. Let's discuss, what does the word Lishma mean to you? First, let's start with halacha. Where do we have the idea of Lishma in halacha?
Get
has to be written Lishma. Matzos have to be made Lishma. So Lishma means l'shem the mitzvah. Sukkah, there are a sukkah according to some, the staff needs to be put down l'shma. Good. What does it mean to learn Torah l'shma? What does it mean to learn Torah l'shma?
Learn for the sake of learning.
For the sake of learning.
Not to learn for other purposes. Other than
what? Great. In other words, shalol l'shma would be easy. Shalol l'shma means, and nowadays, good girls are looking for guys who are learning. Shalol lishma would be because you're being offered prizes. And somehow, or there's some type of incentive of flipping, right? So, shalol lishma would have, what's that?
There's a prayer that if you learn on Friday, you get a pizza.
Okay, to learn for pizza. So we know what shalol lishma is not. We know what shalol lishma is not. But what is lishma? How would you define Lishma? Now, Rav Chaim Volozhiner thinks that many people misunderstood what Lishma means. Many people thought that Lishma means L'shem Hashem. That sounds like a very nice and beautiful definition. That I'm learning it not for myself, I'm learning it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner refers to over here when he says, Perush bidveikus gadol. That people expect that their learning should create attachment with God. Rav Chaim Volozhiner is about to say a massive chiddush, and he's going to develop it in the next couple of months. And that is that the definition of Torah Lishma is not the veikus, and therefore the goal of when we learn is not to create the vagus. Now, let's define the word the vagus. That's going to be very, very important. How would you find the word vagus, aside from A.B. Rottenberg? How would you define the word the vagus? Yeah?
Closeness with the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Closeness. Now, a few years ago, when I was your age, if you had asked me that is Torah supposed to create the vagus, I would have said absolutely yes. Isn't that what Torah is? Isn't it about creating a bond with God? And Rav Chaim Volozhiner says no to the word of dveikus. It's not about dveikus in his definition of what dveikus means. We're going to need to define those terms. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner decries, as we're about to see, he decries those who their goal of learning Torah is to create an emotional attachment with God. Now, what's going to be very frustrating today is that we're going to leave off with many parts of what Torah is, Lishma is not, and and won't necessarily get to what Torah Lishma is. But Rav Chaim Lajner feels that there is a misunderstanding of what Torah Lishma is by many, and he's going to develop beautifully what Torah Lishma is, and he's going to talk about different ways that we become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gam, Roch Ola Yosem Yizeh, towards the end of Perek Aleph, Shesovrim V'daitem, there's even a bigger problem with people. And this, by the way, you'll encounter people who make this argument. She'esek HaTorah B'lo Dveikus Ein Klum. That some will argue that if you're involved in Torah and it isn't creating an emotional closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not worth anything. U'lelo shub to'eles chas v'chalila. L'zos kisharon atzmam she'ein libam holech l'zos ha'madrega. That people who see that their Gemara learning isn't creating closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'ein limudam b'dveikus t'midi, that their learning doesn't bring to a consistent dveikus, lo yaschilu klal lomod, so they stop learning. I think you might have heard this argument from some people. At the end of the day, what brings you closer to God? Learning mikros, rabos, vahalochos, merubos? Or learning some inspirational svarim? I'm very much into learning inspirational svarim. Rav Chaim Lajner is saying that some people misunderstand what the goal of learning mikros, rabos, vahalochos, merubos is. She'ei limuda medvekes t'midi, lo yaskel klal lilmod. They don't begin to learn. Valkein tafuk Torah chasagli. And what has happened is that real Torah learning has become weakened. U'mehemshech en yonim yisbar mirtza Hashem emela, ma'alasa shel Torah kdosha. So my goal is to describe the greatness of Torah, va'adam ha'osik ba'karoi, and what it's supposed to do to us. If it's not there to create the vekus. L'zeis, ha'hechrech la'avik tzatz ma'amorei chazal v'shas ma'drashim v'zohar. So that's why in Shar Dalet, I feel compelled to bring a little bit from Chazal, Shas and Midrashim, and Zohar. Why is Zohar important, that Rav Chaim Lajner brings from Zohar? Yes?
Well, I think that's usually probably a focus on Dveikus, and focus on you connecting to Hashem, and understanding the universe on a different level.
Okay, good, good. And remember that there are Chasidim at the time that Rav Chaim Lajner feels, perceives, whether rightly or correctly, who are attacking the traditions of the Vilna Gaon. And what they're using is introducing Zohar, which has been learned generally by only those who are part of the intellectual elite. I don't mean that in a snobby way. I mean the Talmidei Chachamim of the generation. Only people who are well accomplished in Torah. And what Chassidus did was Chassidus introduced Zohar to everybody. The Baal Shem Tov spoke about concepts in Zohar to even people who didn't know how to read Gemara. And Rav Chaim Lajner wants to show that his Mahalach is going to be consistent with Zohar. And Rav Chaim Lajner also saved Klal Yisrael, because what Rav Chaim Lajner did is he didn't allow one part, I'm talking now about Ashkenazic Jewry, he didn't allow one part of Ashkenazic Jewry to be into Zohar and the other part of Ashkenazic Jewry to be not into Zohar. What Rav Chaim Lajner does is he says, no, we're into Kabbalah. This is not a Kabbalah issue. This is not an issue of whether we accept the Zohar or Chas V'Chalila don't. Rather, a kind legend says, I want to show you that our Mahalach is going to be consistent with the Zohar as well. Okay. So he says we're going to learn Shas Midrashim Zohar, Asher Bom, the last paragraph in Perek Aleph, Asher Bom Yidaber Niflos Marlos HaTorah Kedosh HaOsek Bo, Ugodol Schor V'Onsha, Hagam Shekol Eilu HaMamar Midum for Summon. He says, most of the things that I'm going to tell you now, you're already familiar with. In Kozek, Kibatzdin, but I brought them together. Lahalv, Libos, Hachafetz, Mustabik, Lavoso, Torisvar. For those who want, notice now he uses the word Dveikus. He says, for those who want true Dveikus. Uleslonein Bitzil, Ha'elyon, Hanora. And for those who want to rest in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perek Beis. Ready to roll? Inyan Esek HaTorah Lishma. What it does Torah Lishma mean? Ha'emes Borer, Ki Lishma Ein Perusho Dveikus. The meaning of Lishma is not Dveikus. Kimo Shesavrim Ata Rov Olam. He thinks, Rav Chaim Lajner thinks, that most people perceive the role of Torah about creating the sense, I'm going to define Dveikus now, the sense of creating emotional closeness with God. Sharei Amru Chazal b'Medrash. He quotes a very interesting Medrash over here. Shabikesh David HaMelech Al Vashon L'Fon Misparech. David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he was writing Tehillim, Sheha Osek B'Tehillim, those who daven say Tehillim, Yechashev Etzel Yisparech Ki'ilu Ha'ya Osek B'Nigan V'Alos. Those who daven Tehillim, and David HaMelech himself, who's writing Tehillim. By the way, what's the most popular book in history of mankind?
Bible,
good, but that wasn't written by man, it was written by God, so definitely, that's number one. Psalms. Psalms is the most popular book written by man, obviously with Ruach HaKodesh, by David HaMelech. But at the end of the day, the most popular book in the history of mankind, outside of the Bible, is Tehillim. There is no work of poetry that has captured man's emotions, thoughts, longings, and feelings like Tehillim. And what does the Medrash say? The Medrash says that David HaMelech is writing it, the most important piece of Shakespeare, Lahavdil, in the history of mankind. And David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not learning Mishnayis Taharos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is important. Make it as if I'm learning the halachos of what happens if you have a dead body that's sitting under this roof, and the next roof is within three tefachim of the other roof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it as if I am being osek b'nigon v'olos. Shebikesh David HaMelech Lashon Mifon Misparach, she'osek b'tilin yechashev etzol yisparach, kilu haya osek b'nigon v'olos. Harei! So what's the diuk? She'ha'esek b'hilchos hashas. That someone who involves themselves in the halachos, notice, arcane halachos, right? I mean, it's one thing if he's being osek in hilchos brachos. You know, that happens all the time. How many times do you have a shailan of taharos? Now, once upon a time was more than today, but still, these are very obtuse halachos. Be'iyun v'yegiyah, for those who apply themselves to understand, who inyin yoser na'la v'ol l'fani yisparach, me'amir estilim. That's more significant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the saying of Tehillim. And Tehillim, for Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is the ultimate expression of Dveikus. And so what we're going to develop from Reb Chaim Volozhiner is that there's two tracks of the way man comes close to God. One is through emotional Dveikus, the longing, the beauty, the expression of Tehillim. And then there's going to be something that's entirely different called Torah Lishma. And we have to understand how both of those tracks work. Notice, we're not defining the chashivas of Amelus Bishas. Vim Nomar. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner continues his diuk. If we're going to say Shalishma Perush Dveikus Dafka, that the word Lishma means Dveikus Virakba Zatoli Kol Iker Inyan Eisek HaTorah, and that is why we're involved with Torah. Hello, ain't dveikus yoser niflam amir is tehillim karoi kol yom. The greatest form of dveikus is tehillim. Vigam, page Reish Samach Aleph in my edition, third paragraph in Perek Beis. Vigam mi yodeya im hiskim Hakadosh Baruch Hu al yado v'zeh. And who knows whether Hakadosh Baruch Hu agreed to David HaMelech's request? Ki lo matzinu b'divrei. We don't see if Hakadosh Baruch Hu responded and said, "Yes, I'll consider." When you're saying Tehillim, as if you're being Osek in Olos and Egoin. So we don't see that. And now Reb Chaim Volozhiner brings up a fascinating methodological question. So, to summarize, Reb Chaim Volozhiner is telling us he's going to explain what Torah Lishma is. Torah Lishma is not, he already told us, it's not that sense of Dveikus, which is emotional attachment, which he then goes on to say is Tehillim. And he compares Tehillim to Nigon V'Olos, and he told us that David HaMelech had asked that the Tehillim be considered as Choshev as Nigon V'Olos, and that is the difference, he suggests, between these two tracks without explaining how Torah Lishma works. Now let's ask ourselves a learning question. I want to take a step back what Reb Chaim Volozhiner doesn't say. You tell me if you agree. How many of you have learned a daf of Gemara 10 times? Show of hands. 10 times in your life. Have you ever reviewed a daf of Gemara for 10 times? Okay. if you review a daf of Gemara many times, if you review it hundreds of times, and I think you would agree that daf of Gemara, after you review 10, 20 times, becomes much more enjoyable than a Gemara that you sort of understand, you sort of don't understand. And by the way, I would encourage you that you have that Gemara which you just love reviewing over and over and over again. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that when that happens, then there's an emotional debekus. Then the person begins to be so attached to the words, similar to the way I was blown away. My daughter is in high school here in Israel. Like, I was quoting Pesukim, reading Pesukim from the Sfas Emes, and she was like, yeah, she finished the Pasuk in Tehillim. I can't do that, but that's the difference of raising your children in Israel versus raising them in America. And, she says Tehillim all the time, and she finishes the Pesukim. She knows that the Pesukim. Pesukim have become part of her in a way that doesn't apply to me. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, if you review Gemara dozens and dozens and dozens of times, then you'll feel attached to it, similar to you'll feel to Tehillim. So now the question becomes, let's say there was one grade in high school that you really did well and you enjoyed that Masechta. So why is it that you're pushing ahead Bava Kamma? Why is it that you're pushing ahead of Bava Kamma and not spending that time of the emotional dveikus repeating it over and over again? V'gam, ki ha-yadai l'inyin ha-dveikus, if the goal is dveikus, then it would be enough b'meseches achas, to learn one mesechta, o perik, o mishnah achas, she'yasek bal kol yama b'dveikus. And that in itself will create that emotional feeling of dveikus. In many ways, it's much harder to be banging your head and trying to figure out a new gemara. V'lo matzinu l'chazal, sham Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But we find that the Gemara in Sukkah says, Shelo iniach mikra mishnah halachos v'agadus, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't satisfied until he was able to know as much as he can, fill himself up more with more and more and more information of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. V'hainu, ki mehalal sa'al libo tamid, ki adayin lo yotzi dechovas esek haTorah l'shma. It's one has a new chiyuv of Torah l'shma every single moment. Once you know Bava Kama, you're going to have a new chiyuv of Torah l'shma to know Bava Metzia. And then you're going to have a new chiyuv of Torah l'shma to know Bava Basra. And in terms of Dveikus, Rav Chaim Volozhiner argues, that doesn't create that same sense of Dveikus. Ha-yishoykei kol yom av lo'isif lekachtam miyom liyom mishar l'sha. And he would be constantly adding to his knowledge base, even though he wasn't, he argues, adding to his sense of Dveikus through his learning. There's a medrash that he quotes to support this. Umilishli Rabosi. Bo re'e kama koshi yom adin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say that if we don't have that desire to increase our knowledge base of Torah, then we're later on, he's going to have questions for us. Shasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu ladin eskal olam kula. Ba mi sheyesh ba mikra vein biyado mishnah. If a person comes and he only has Torah and he doesn't have Mishnah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ofich espanav. Wow. The Medrash here is very, very sharp. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if he doesn't learn Torah's Kohanim, he says, why didn't you learn Torah's Kohanim? And every single thing that an individual had the opportunity to learn, and he doesn't learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him, you are missing this part of Torah Lishma. Let's go to page Reish Samach Beis. We don't have to read the whole Medrash inside. It could be in the photocopies. Not everybody got it. So maybe just for those of you who don't have Nevesh Chaim, just pull up next to somebody who has it. Umistabra nami hachi. Let's go to the end of Perek Beis. Umistabra nami hachi. Sharei kama halachos merubos yesh b'shas. There are many halachos in Shas. Now this is a very important line. And this applies to you so much in learning Bava Kama. How in the world are you supposed to get spirituality? You guys are in the first parak? You're in the first parak of Bava Kama?
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to get spirituality, a sense of spirituality, when you're talking about the difference between a short tam and a short muat? What's spiritual about that? And yet, That is most of our time is being spent working on that. Umistabra nami achi sharei kama alachas merubos yesh b'shas. Shebe'ez asher ha'odem osik b'hem hutzarech la'ayin ulahamik mashafto v'sichlo binyone agashmi es shevem. When a person is focusing on our physical factors, they're not spiritual factors. Kigon, and he gives examples. Kinin. Kinin are complicated mishnayos about birds for karbanos that were mixed up. Upischei nida, and when a woman's menstrual cycle starts. Shehein hein gufei halachos. The Gemara refers to kinin and nida as gufei halachos, the body of halachos. In other words, the central component of Torah. Oh, amasu matam b'shas. What about the give and take of shas? Kol dine migul sharamos. Some of you have learned the sugis of migul, where we say we believe somebody because if he wanted to have lied, he could have lied better. So in order to get into that sugya, you have to get into the mind of a liar. So instead of thinking about the vekus, you're thinking about how a liar would lie. Yachol iton, ukimat bilti yafshar. How can you think about spirituality and God, if what you're doing is thinking about all these things that are, at first glance, entirely devoid of spirituality? We really should go to the parsha, but let's start the answer. And this answer is going to develop. It's going to take us 2 months to develop the answer. But I think your learning is going to be transformed. By the way, give me feedback, what's working for you and what's not working for you afterwards. Avala MS, perfect. Avala MS, kiyo inyin pirush lishma, ki inyin lishma, pirush l'shem Torah. We're not learning it with the goal of being dovig to God. We're learning it with the goal to be dovig to Torah. So here's the thesis for Reb Chaim Volozhiner. The thesis is that there are 612 ways in which a person cleaves to God. 612. And they are 612 mitzvos. All of the 612 mitzvos are there to bring a person closer to God. So, for example, when I'm doing chesed, I'm imitating the ways of God, and then I become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's one mitzvah, which is not about coming close to God. Torah Lishma, the explanation is not L'shem Hashem. Lishma means L'shem Torah. By the way, that's not such a chidush if you think about what it means, matzah Lishma. When you're baking matzah, you're doing matzah L'shem Mitzvahs matzah. That's what you're doing when you're baking matzah. When you're writing a get, you're not thinking of God when you're writing the get. You're doing it L'shem Haget, as opposed to writing it for a different document. So the word Torah L'shma, if you think about it, is Torah L'shem Torah. Now we need to understand, what does that mean? That's like become circular. Torah L'shem Torah, Torah L'shem Torah, Torah. That needs to be defined, it needs to be understood, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner is going to take 10 prakim to try to explain what that means. So that's the thesis. The thesis is that many people have a wrong impression of what the goal of learning Torah is about. And what does Torah Lishma mean? Torah means to learn Torah L'shem Torah. And we're going to see it's not just an expression, but that is something extremely, extremely profound. Yeah? Does anybody have a chumash? Yeah, go ahead.
Parsha?
Yes. Great. Perfect. Okay. It's a very, very fair question. I want you to be thinking about that. If you want, you can sneak ahead and take an Nefesh HaMagen and take a look. But, those questions all need to be asked. What does Torah L'Shem Torah mean? And what is, and how could it be that it's not L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu if the entire world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? All those questions need to be answered, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner will not disappoint. He definitely will not disappoint. Yeah, there was another hand? Yeah, go ahead, fire away.
Similar, but so with learning Torah L'Shem, I mean, L'Shem Torah, would that be the kind of mitzvah of
That's a great question. Because Reb Chaim Volozhiner is suggesting that the meaning of Torah Lishma is Torah L'shem Torah, and it's not the Vekus. That's what he told us. So the question becomes then, what is one being Mekayim L'dafka both through Torah? I want you to think about that question, and then we'll take it from there. Okay. In this week's parsha, we have a sequel, which is then going to have a sequel on top of that. It's a very tragic and painful phenomenon of the abduction of the Imos. It happens three times in Sefer Bereishis: twice to Sarah Imenu, once to Rivka, and it's done twice by Avimelech. Once to Sarah, once to Rivka. And in last week's parasha, we had Paro abducting Sarah. We're going to focus the Siyata Dishmaya and actually contrast this week's parasha to last week's parasha and see what it tells us about our Avodas Hashem. In many ways, Avimelech and Paro are innocent. Avram is scared, and he lies. And we can understand why Avram Avinu does that. But when Avimelech asks Avram Avinu, why did you lie to me? He says to him a strange response. He says, Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. He says, well, there isn't the fear of God in this place, and therefore I lied. Question number one is, one of the most tragic situations is when you have someone who is a religious person, and unfortunately, he's really not religious. He's dishonest. And you ask him, how could you have been dishonest? How could you cheat? How could you lie? And he says, well, the other people aren't religious. So how's Avram Avinu different than that? Avram Avinu says, well, since you're not God-fearing, rakin yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh, so therefore I lied. What type of response is that? That's question number one. Question number two, Rashi already points out that Avimelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, get rid of her, she's a married woman. So Avimelech cries out in righteous indignation. He says, B'som levavi uvenikyoim kapaya sisizos. He says, I did it with a pure heart. I didn't think she was married. Uvenikyoim kapaya, I did it with clean hands. Rashi points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, B'som levavcha sisizos. You did it, your heart, your conscience is clear. But Rashi says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not say that you did it with clean hands. Just b'sam l'val kol v'nik, but not b'nikyon kapai. So question number two is, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Avimelech? Question number three, this is a fascinating observation. This term, b'sam l'val v'nikyon kapai, should sound familiar to you when you put back the Torah. What do we say when we put back the Torah? Tehillim. Mi yale bahar Hashem mi akum b'mkoyim kodshoi, miki chapayim uvar levav. So the same term that Avimelech uses, that he says that he's innocent, that term was repeated by David HaMelech, but notice in the inverse. David HaMelech doesn't speak about the heart first, he speaks about the hands. He says, mi yale bahar Hashem, miki chapayim uvar levav. And finally, Avimelech has a whole conversation with God, the give and take. He has a whole conversation with Avram. Paro, there's no give and take whatsoever. Paro gets afflicted, and he just sends Sarah back. So how do we deal with these four questions? Number one, what's Avram Avinu's response? Number two, what is the give and take for Sav Mavali V'Nikion Kapai? Number three, is what is David Avimelech doing when he inverts the order? And number four, why is it that when it comes to Paro, there's no conversation at all? I want to tell you a painful story. The Altar of Slobodka met a boy who had come back to Yeshiva after Ben Azman, who was from Germany in 1930. And the Altar had a way of being able to probe what was on his Talmidim's mind. And he said to the boy, how was Ben Azmanim? He said, it was good. After a couple more questions, he said to the Altar, I have to be honest with you, Rebbe. There's something that's been weighing on me. I went back to Germany. I remembered how the people there have such refined manners. And he said, in yeshiva, sometimes the manners are less than what take place in Germany. By the way, we have to work on our manners. But that was his question for the altar. And the altar said, give me an example. I said, I'll give you an example. To this day, by the way, that's the way it is. If you ask directions in Germany, people will stop and give you full attention. Full attention. They will tell you exactly how to go. They'll even spend 5 or 10 minutes. They'll draw you a map if necessary. And you describe that to the altar. By the way, here in Israel, what happens when you ask for directions is say, Yashar, Smola, V'tishal Sham. Straight and left, and then ask over there. In Germany, in 1930, it wasn't that way, and today it's not that way. In terms of the manners, they'll direct you up until the point, up until where you need to go. And the Talmud added, and afterwards they'll say, is it not so? The altar's simple response was, manners isn't always midos. 1942. This Talmud wasn't as lucky as some of his friends in Slobodka. And he was in the concentration camps and a Nazi was beating him. And he said to him, Jew, it hurts. Is it not so? And at that moment, he realized the altar's words. Is it not so doesn't necessarily reflect midos. Manners and midos aren't the same thing. My Rebbe, Rabbi Braunschweigel, was a child survivor of the Holocaust. He begins his sefer, Ani hagever ro oni, I saw the pain and suffering. And there's one message he wanted to leave for his Talmidim. And that is that as a child he grew up, and Germany was the source for all civilization of ethics and morality. And Rabbi Braunschweigel explained that was Avraham Avinu's response. If our ethics and morality comes from anything but something that is divine, Avraham Avinu is saying, Rak en Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. At the end of the day, if there isn't Yiras Shamayim, you Avimelech, who prides yourself, the Ramban writes, that Gror was the most civilized of all society. You, Avimelech, who prides yourself as being the king of the most civilized society, because your morality and your ethics doesn't come from Yerushalayim, then of course, what is the next words in the pasuk? Varuguni al varishti. You'll find a way, another way to justify being able to get to my wife. And this is the punchline of this morning. If ethics comes from man's rationale, the rationale that makes it is going to be the rationale that breaks it. That is the response of Rakin Yerushalayim Makom Hazeh Barabuni Al Bar Yishti. With Paro, there's no give and take. Because Paro is honest. Mitzrayim is Shitufe Zima. In Mitzrayim, everything goes. It was all about one's Yetzirah, one's lust. They celebrated it. No. In Gerar, it wasn't that way. In Gerar, they prided themselves for morality and ethics. And that, Avraham Avinu says, is the most dangerous. Rakin Yerushalayim Makom Hazeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Avimelech deserves a visit because now he needs to be shown. Paro knows the score. Avimelech is so self-absorbed with his intellect, he thinks that he's the ultimate moral person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and he says, what's going on? He gives Avimelech a response. B'sam levavi, the opportunity to respond. B'sam levavi v'nikyon kapai. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, b'sam levavcha. You are innocent in the sense that in your system it works. But we have a different system. The only way ethics and morality works is a different system. And that's the system that David HaMelech is going to say later. Mi ale v'har Hashem u'mi yakum b'mkom kinsho, in the other order. It's not that we put the intellect first. What first, we developed our holy instincts. Niki chapayim uvar levav. We can't trust our minds. If we trust our minds, then our minds are going to seduce us and are going to fool us. Niki chapayim uvar levav. I'll take a question afterwards. It'll be my pleasure. I had the schus of meeting and being close with a Holocaust survivor, Avanchel Tesler, who just passed away a couple of years ago. I grew up with him as a child. He was one of the greatest Baalei Emunah that I knew. In 1946, he was entirely devastated. His family had all been killed by Kiddush Hashem. He was the only one that was left. He grew up in Hungary as a really observant boy in an observant home. And there was one morning he was so angry at God in 1946, he decided he's not davening. He's not putting on tefillin. You know what happened? Took a walk. 11 o'clock in the morning, he started getting hungry. Because the first thing he's done his entire life when he had tefillin is you put on tefillin before you eat. But he didn't want to put on tefillin. But he was hungry. But he didn't want to put on tefillin. He didn't want to daven. But how could he eat before he davens? His instincts as a little child, he was taught, you can't eat beforehand. And so you know what he did? He put on the tefillin and he cursed God and he screamed at God. But he put it on. Because the instincts, the holy instincts that were developed inside of him had already created the phenomenon that he couldn't not. And I knew him as one of the most special Ovdei Hashem I ever met in my life. There are some times that the heart is not going to be entirely there. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the system ingrained in a holy Jewish child is certain basic instincts of Meki Chataim Uvar Levav. And that's what saved him. Because if he had followed his intellect, then sometimes we're so angry we're going to do things that ultimately we ourselves are not going to want to do. Isn't that such an important yisod? So Rabbi Osei, here are two takeaways, two yisodos. The first yisod my Rebbe Branchfield wanted to emphasize is at the end of the day, secular knowledge is extremely important and valuable. For those who go to college and go to university and go to graduate school, I did all of those myself. At the end of the day, Chazal tell us there's Chochma Vagoyim, and secular knowledge informs us in the arts and the humanities and the sciences, and all those things are important. But the Gemara tells us, Chochma Vagoyim, Avol Ein Torah Vagoyim. Ho'emer Torah Vagoyim Al Tamim. Torah is our system of ethics and moralities. We don't get one iota of our system of ethics and morality from anything else but that which is divine. And the moment in which we allow in our community those values to creep in is the moment in which we could justify anything. Where Avraham Avinu says, "Rak in yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh v'arguni al dvar ishti." At the end of the day, our mind and ethical system of the world could justify anything. The only bulwark against an implosion of human morality is the Torah and the Shalshalas HaMisor Misina. Rak in yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. That's a message that my Rebbe wanted to emphasize, and I feel a responsibility to share with you. The second application is holy instincts. At this age, people think of you're coming to yeshiva to develop your intellect in Avodas Hashem, and there's no question that is absolutely central. And Reb Chaim Volozhin is going to teach us how that transforms a human being. But there's something else. You know, there's an expression in the army. Some things you don't learn through your head, you learn through your feet. There are some things that a person internalizes in life, not necessarily through their intellect, but to develop holy instincts. Let me give you an example. A very, very powerful example. Simple, but powerful. This morning, there were thousands of little children between the ages of 6, 0, and 5 who woke up and their mother or father poured on them Netilas Yadayim on their hands. And when a baby is 2 years old, the baby has no idea why their mother is pouring Netilas Yadayim on their hands. Don't try to explain to them what Tumah V'Tahara is. And then when they're going to be 10 years old, their Rebbe is going to teach them in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and say, you don't do anything with your hands until you wash them. The Rebbe isn't going to try to even explain to them what Ruach Ra is. I don't know if you and I know what Ruach Ra is. But slowly we're going to learn Negon V'Olos. And slowly what's going to happen is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to slowly teach us through our intellect what Tumah and Tahara is. But already at a very, very, very young age, a Jewish child is being taught through Neki Chapayim without understanding at all that there's something called Tumah v'Tahara without even using the terms. That is part of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem doesn't only start over here. Avodas Hashem is creating instincts in a Jewish child for Tumah v'Tahara. And every single one of us has to decide what are the things that we're going to develop in our instincts, that there are certain things that we don't do, that we just, without even processing it intellectually. The Gemara in Kedushin describes that there are two Amorayim who went to a certain place and just one of them said, you know, it's just so uncomfortable over here. Dal karech mikmeg de Gehenim. Let's remove our feet because I feel that we're close to Gehenim. I don't know necessarily if I'm going to be over an Aveira if I go there. I don't know. But at the end of the day, my instincts say that's just not where my neshama belongs. Dal karech mikmeg de Gehenim. I'll give you an example. It's not relevant to you and me. I have my smartphone that's sitting over here. In our society, smartphone is a given. We'll talk another time. I know your Rabbeim already have spoken to you about filters and so on and so forth. I'm not going to repeat that speech right now. I was in Ramat Beit Shemesh. My children don't have smartphones. I have a son who's your age, a little bit older. They don't need it. In the society that they're in, they don't need it. I was in a shul, and an Israeli boy comes over to me, a yeshiva boy comes over to me, and in Hebrew it's an interesting expression, when you ask to borrow someone's phone, you don't say, can I please borrow your phone? It took me a while to even understand what he was saying. Efshar sicha literally means, can I have a conversation? But what it means is, he's not interested in a conversation with you, he's asking if he could borrow your phone. Efshar sicha. So after I understood what he meant, so I took out my phone and I gave it to him. And then he looked at it. It's from Apek Shemesh. He's not used to a smartphone. He looked at it. He saw that it was a smartphone. His hand began to tremble. And he gave it back to me and said, Ani lo yachol. Toda rabba. He had been taught in his society that this is something that's off limits. You know better than him why it's off limits for him. Niki chapayim uvar leivav. There are certain things, and I'm not saying it's a smartphone, but there are certain things where a person says, Toda rabba ani lo yachol. Now, of course, if at the end of the day all we're teaching is instincts, and we're not developing the depth of one's intellectual understanding, and it's not going to last. It needs to be two steps. It can't just be just the Neki Chapayim, because in the end it doesn't work if it's just Neki Chapayim. The emotions and the intellect have to support those holy instincts, because if what happens is, if it's not developed, then it's all going to fall away. It's the outside doesn't last very long. Reminds me of a great story. Also, I'm telling sad stories today. There was a yeshiva bacher who was unfortunate, a chassidish bacher from Borough Park, who began to slowly go off. This is when I was a kid. So this is before phones and the internet. So he decided he had a big yetzer to watch television. He didn't have it in his parents' home. So he goes into a store in Borough Park and he says, can I buy the television? So the proprietor, who's also a chassid, said, it's pasnish for a chassidish bacher television. He says, it's not appropriate for Chassidish Shabbat television. So a couple weeks later, he goes to another store, and by then he doesn't even look so much like a Chassidish Shabbat. He has our type of payas, not the Chassidish type of payas. And he asks again, and they tell him the same thing: it's not appropriate for a Chassidish Shabbat. Unfortunately, a few weeks later, he goes to the store, and by then he's not wearing a yarmulke. He doesn't look at all like a Jewish kid. He goes to another store in Borough Park, and he says, "I'd like to buy a television." The fellow says to him, that's not appropriate for a Chassidus Shabbachar to have a television. So he says to him, why do you think I'm a Chassidus Shabbachar? He says, because you're pointing to the microwave. At the end of the day, there's only a certain amount of blocking the bad stuff out that's going to work. For sure, it needs to follow the heart. It needs to be followed with the heart. At the end of the day, if the boy doesn't want it, it's not going to last. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that the way in which we create our system of ethics is two things. Number one is only through Torah, and number two is holy instincts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to develop those holy instincts. so that we grow all together in Torah and Avodas Hashem, and thereby be able to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, that we live with something that's above man's rationale, something that's greater, and something that's truly full of. Have a great Shabbat.